The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I know my mom told me when I was young, I was just a little bitty thing, she said the Lord was coming. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9, those that are look for Him, that are looking for Him, He's going to come. He's going to show His appearing to. And I can't wait to meet the Lord. I can't wait to be there. And this week, I kind of want to talk a little bit about, I'm in a pastoral class right now at my church, and Alan, my pastor, is trying to teach me how to pastor, because evangelizing and pastoring is two different things, anyway, I've been in the class for a couple of months now, about 3 or 4 months, and he asked me to do something, which I've never done before, to my knowledge, which was, he said, I want you to do an outline on what it is that you speak from. What you talk about. Now, usually when I talk or I speak anything like that, a lot of times you got to try to keep up with me, and I never stay focused. But Alan is trying to get me to stay focused, and I don't know if he's gonna be able to do it or not. But I brought a notebook, and I don't know if I could. Last time I was here, I tried to stay focused, and I used a notebook. But I don't minister like that. But my wife always tells me, you need to slow down. Because I'll start reading the scriptures and just blast through it. And I got so much going on in my mind and things I want to give you and show you that when I'm talking about something, I'll kind of run off and I'm like, no, I got to get back. And my wife says, don't do that. Stay focused on what it is that you need to do. And but I want to talk about probably one of the most, maybe not, should I say, controversial scriptures from a woman's point of view. Yeah, I think it is. It's a door lock. But anyway, Alan gave me, she wanted me to do an outline on Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit. I'm like, oh, jeez. When he had told me that, the sermon is today is, I don't have a title for it. I think at the end, I'll just let, our brother in the back, I'll let him title it. That's usually the best thing. And I'm going to read, I'm going to slow down and do what my wife had told me to do. I'm going to read Ephesians 5:22, but I'm going to start in verse 21. And my brother's already got it up there. Look at that. Check it out. All right. We know that when Paul wrote, let me just kind of talk a little bit. Shaul Paul, when he wrote Ephesians, or when he wrote this letter, because that's what it is, a letter to the church of Ephesus, there was nothing really going on in the church of Ephesus where they needed correction or anything like that. So I'm not here to bring correction in any kind of way. I just want to share with you guys. But anyway, he writes this. He said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, what I want to do, I'm going to talk about the importance of the house today, of the church, of the original house, God's house, our house, and then the church, the house of God. Okay? And I'm going to show you how it all ties together, which is like unbelievable. That you women are going to be encouraged today, I promise you. Let me read it. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Can you keep going 25 on, brother? Keep going on. I'm not going to start that. I want you to really catch everything that's going on. And my wife really puts this one on me. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. I mean, every time I say wives, submit to it, she comes back with this one right here. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Keep going, brother. Yeah, you had to let me finish reading. No, I'm sorry. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are the members of his body, and is his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Can you back that up for me, brother? I'm going to really focus in on, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. And I want to get into what the mystery is today of this. You probably already know, but I want to show you some things which are just, it absolutely just floored me when the Lord had showed me. A lot of people talk about the women in the church, and that's who I'm going to talk to today. And it's funny because we're both brides. Okay? So when I say wives submit, I'm not only talking to the wives of the church, I'm talking to men and women because we're both a bride. And it's amazing, as long as a bride is submitted under a husband, she has a covering. Just as a man, as he's submitted unto Christ, he is a bride, therefore he has a covering. But those that are out there in the world, these so-called manly men, they have no covering because they're not a bride, therefore they're not submitted under any authority. And when they stand before God, they'll be judged. So the importance is, I want to talk about wives submitting. And I'm going to go back to, if you can pull up on the screen, go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. When God created man in the very beginning, God created Adam. It says he created Adam after his own image and after his likeness. And the Bible says that he pulled the wool man, it's a man, the woman is a man, but has a womb, out of the side of Adam. Okay, same place that Christ, God pulled the church, we, out of the bride of Christ. Adam had to be laid down to sleep, and his bride was pulled out. So Christ had to be laid down to sleep, and his bride was pulled out through blood and water, same way. But I want to show you something. When God created, and I'm going to relax, and I got to relax, because I'll get excited quick. But when God literally created woman in the beginning, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, in the day that God created them, he called their name Adam. Now, he was not over her. They walked in the garden. She was not under him. They were equal, side by side, man and woman. It's just the woman had a womb. That's the way God chose to bring forth children. And I'll show you. It says, unto the woman he said, after the sin, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. We can really get into something right there. But my wife said, stay focused. So, and I'm just going to say this. So before this time, she wasn't having any sorrow in conception? I don't know. In sorrow, thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So you see, before that, when they was in the garden, he wasn't ruling over her. But after the fall, in the day that he created them, he called their name Adam. Their name was Adam when they was walking in the garden. She didn't receive the name Eve until after the fall. He said, now your name shall be Eve, which means the mother of all living. Okay? So that's what I want to God has set some authority up, okay, with the wives submitting and all of these kind of things. But He did it for a reason. Once we come back to Christ, God is trying to bring us back to where we once was in the beginning. Back into the garden, where we submit one to another. And the one, as Christ came down, He said, I'm not ruling over you. You just serve the one that's under you. You just become, the higher you go, the more you serve, basically. Now watch this. God is all about marriage. You know, Adam married Eve. It was, you know, the marriage deal and all of that. But when God, in the beginning, God had a house. And if you go back and you read, in fact, one scripture is Jeremiah 2:2. It says that God chose Israel as His bride. Literally, He married Israel. In fact, if you go to Mount Sinai, when God actually was on the mountain and He gave the commandments, the Ten Commandments, we see Him as the Ten Commandments. But it was actually, it was a wedding ceremony. It was a chuppah. He gave them a marriage agreement. He married them. And He said this to them, if you do this, then I will do this. Remember it? Same thing you do at a regular marriage when you stand before your wife. You say, I'll love you and cherish you and honor you. And then your wife comes back and she says, well, I'll do this and all of these things back to you. It's agreement. It's a covenant. It's a binding thing. And that's what God did for Israel. Okay? He married them right there on a mountain. Well, the first thing that, you know, a woman wants is a house. Okay? That is the most important thing. You ask a woman what's the most important thing, she's looking for this little house, this white picket fence, children in the backyard, and all of these things. Well, God is the same way. And when He chose Israel to be His bride, first thing He does is He builds them a house. And He builds them the temple, Solomon's temple. And the priest that was in this house was God's bride. Okay? He married the children of Israel. So if you look, this is the temple of Solomon. It's actually, this is the temple of Herod's temple. It was actually Zerubbabel's temple. Zerubbabel started building it. But Herod came along. He was a massive, he was a serious builder. That's what he was known for building, besides him being crazy and killing all his sons. And he was a crackpot. But he was a master builder for sure. He added on and he built this. This first court right here, you had the outer courts. But anyway, the first courts in here, inside of God's house, was for the women. The women made all the clothes. The women did all kind of things. If you get into the temple and read all that the women did. So you women, you was included in the temple, okay? You wasn't kicked out or anything like that, even though Israel looked at the women as the lesser part. You know, they were subservients literally to the men and stuff like that. But they had a part. If they didn't make the linen and all that, them guys would have been walking around here naked. But anyway. And then you had the inner dwelling place of God in His house. This is where He dwelled. Well, in this court, the priest of the house, the bride of God, they tended to everything in His house. They tended to the money. They tended to the food. They took care of the poor, the widow, the maimed, the orphan. They took care of all of God's children. That was their job in God's house, the priest of the house. That's what they did in here. So once God established this, put that scripture back up here with wives submitting, 5:22. It says, wives, submitting unto your husbands, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The reason God had set this whole thing up is because he's trying to show us something. Actually, just as the priest, it's amazing, they was actually practicing in this house for a future event to come, meaning this. After this time, if you remember, during Herod and during Solomon, when the priest of the house didn't listen to God. They disobeyed. They didn't submit. They did what they wanted to do. Remember, the Babylonians came in and the Romans came in and took all the temple treasures. Remember that? They carried off, remember, the lampstand? They carried it off. The Romans did it and the Babylonians did it. 586 BC, they did it. They carried off. Once the enemy got into the house, he carries off of the furniture, because the priest of God, or God's bride, decided that they didn't want to have anything to do with God anymore. And the enemy gets in and carries off all of the treasures. This house right here. I went last night to the Dollar General store, because this whole scripture right here with wives submitting unto your husbands, the Lord was he was showing me something, and he said that, don't you know that you are a bride? And I'm like, yeah, Lord, I know I'm a bride. And he said, well, just as I had a bride that lived in this house, so are you the bride of a house. That's why when he sets up the church, the Bible says that literally that God had set men up over the church. Doesn't mean we're superior. But let me tell you this. If you go to a house, it don't matter. Whenever you ask somebody, where are you going? I'm going by mama's house. Where are you going? I'm going by grandma's house. Where are you going? It's never I'm going by daddy's house. Because I'm going to tell you right now, this house right here, your house you live in right now, don't belong to you. It belongs to mama. This is mama's house. Now, I want to show you something. In this place right here, in this house that we're living in right now, that this house that you're living in right now, this is a place where me as a man comes into intimacy with my wife and we bring forth children. Just like the children that was in God's house or in the church. When we as men come into intimacy with God, we bring forth spiritual children. If there is no difference between this house and this house, not one bit. What I'm saying is this. Just as you women or has a house that God has set up around you, and you take care of the finances part, you take care of the clothes, the washing, the food, you take care of the children, you are practicing. Because when Jesus comes, the Bible says he is the bridegroom and you are the bride. You're practicing for the temple that is coming. Just as the man is the bride in this house, and God has set it up. And in this house, as we come into intimacy with Christ, we bring forth spiritual children. We take care of finances. We do all of these things. Is our job different? Not one little bit. We are both brides. My wife is practicing here at the house. I'm practicing at the church. We're both brides waiting on the bridegroom to come. So when he comes, we both go as brides into his temple. Now watch this. There's no possible way that my wife can do what she needs to do in her house without me. Who's going to cut the grass? Who's going to fix the leaky faucet? Who's going to fix the toilet when it's blocked? Who's going to repair the floors? Yesterday, I was putting new electrical sockets. Therefore, I, as the provider, do everything I can do to support her so she can take care of the children, put the food on a table. Whatever it is that she needs to get done in that house, I am a vital part of what's going on in there. I live there. There's no possible way that a man in a church alone without women could do what God has called him to do in this church. This is a house. And just as she needs me in her house, so I need her in this house. There's no way we can do it separate. She is such a vital part, not only you know, hey, baby, you know, you want me to make copies of your sermons? No. It goes way deeper than that. My wife sets the tone for me. She knows if I got to go minister, when I come to the house, she's already taking care of the children and doing whatever it is that needs to be done because she knows that I need to be with the Lord. She's, can I do anything for you? Can I help you with something? Whatever it is. I can't even begin to tell you. If this atmosphere at my house is one of division, there's no way that God will be able to operate through me to give forth the word that He wants to do. Same way, if I don't... Get up here. The same exact way, if I don't provide for her, if I don't fix the leaky seat, the sink that's leaking, in Jesus' name, it don't leak because I don't want to fix no sinks, or the toilet, or, you know, put new floors in the house, or, Robbie, can you hang this picture that fell off the wall, or, you know, can you talk to those kids, or whatever it is, if I don't back her up, because she is an extension of authority from me, just as in the church, I am an extension of authority from God. Just as, that's why it says, being submitted. Can you throw that back up? Throw this back up here real quick. Stay there. Don't go sit down. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Listen, there is pastors, elders, deacons, apostles, prophets, evangelists, preachers, teachers. But you find out that all of those things are really titles, which, I mean, they're set up for the church so it can be run. God is a God of order and government and all of these things. But once you find out who you really are, God just calls you to submit. Amen. Submit one to another. I submit unto my wife. She submits unto me. Sometimes I don't feel like submitting. Sometimes she don't feel like submitting. And there's a big old thing going on. But I'm telling you, if the house of God, if we do what Israel did in this church that we're living or in this house, it's amazing because if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, then you have divisions in churches. You have divisions in houses. Watch this. In God's house, remember, they carried out the lampstand. They took it and carried it off when Israel disobeyed. The priest or the bride of God disobeyed. They carried off the furniture because they wasn't obedient, submitted. And every time something comes in between a man and a woman in a house, the first thing you see walk out the door, just like the furniture left here. Well, you know what? I found me another woman because you ain't doing. What happens? The furniture. Well, this is mine. I'm taking it off. The bedroom set's mine. The cabinets are mine. The table's mine. The icebox is mine. And all of these things. And you have a split. Because they wasn't submitted one to another. They were divided in where they was. And then you have a carrying off of the furniture. The exact thing which happened in the temple. Happens every single day in the house that we live in. Not only in that house, but there's divisions in the church. The same thing. And God didn't plan it for that. God is trying to bring us together. What does it matter? Whoever it is that God has put there, we need to submit to Him. And believe and trust in God that He's going to take care of everything. So today, all I wanted to do, you can sit down, baby. Is there anything you want to say?
No.
You sure? What I wanted to just, short and sweet, get into a whole bunch of revelation, and we can definitely do that. And when I come back, if the Lord permit, we will. But just to let you women know that, hey, you know what? You are just as important in this house as we are. You're no different than us. And without you, this will not be possible. And say again, sir?
Not complete.
Incomplete. So this whole thing, what God is trying to do, man, we just need to just get together, whatever it is, and see God. I mean, just all the stuff that's been going on, I've just been hearing in my spirit. This is what I've been hearing. War. Fight. Discord. And that's this morning. God is everything. Once you get a glimpse of Him, you know what? You stop fighting about panty-anty things. You know, whatever. What color the church seats are going to be in a new church. Or what color the carpet's going to be, which causes divisions, which causes splits. Because this person, whoever it is, I don't like the color of the carpet, and I believe the carpet should be this color, because they're not submitting. What does it matter? And the biggest thing today, I didn't want to get into a whole bunch, but I wanted to encourage you as men that you're a bride and this is your house. And women, you're a bride as well and you have a house. Just as the husband and wife is married at the house here, so is the husband and the wife married at this house as well. So when it says wives submit, I don't want you to look at that where it says, you know, you wives just point out, hey, wives submit. No, because you men are the bride of Christ. Therefore, you are wife and you need to submit as well. Amen. And that's what God has called us to. Submitting ourselves. That's why I backed it up. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And that's what's important. Amen. Amen. That's all I got for you. Anyway, kind of just pray for you guys real quick. And you got anything you want to say, Brother Jim? No. Brother Mike, you got anything you want to say? Yes, anybody got anything they want to say?
Yeah, I was going to add to what you said, but taking that scripture from Genesis, when it said, and the two shall become one. See, a lot of people misunderstand that scripture. They think that's only one in the flesh. But God's word meant it would be one in the spirit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's right.
Unity in the spirit. That's the secret to life.
Right. And you know what? You only get that unity if you submit.
That's right.
And the problem is here. That's a good point you brought up. They try to stress that point right there, but they're not submitting. After you said it, we'll submit, okay? And just leave it alone. But anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, number one, for who you are. The 300, and I know there's more. That can't even scrape the surface of who you are. That's something that you inspired man just to write down. 365, and I think it's 365 because there's 365 days in a year, and you're everything for each day, whatever your day, whatever our day might behold in front of us. But Father, I just ask, O Lord, that you would just impart into us, Lord, to just submit one to another and just see you, Father, see your face and know, Lord, that you haven't forgot us. And Lord, we're looking forward for your coming, Lord. Yes. Father, I ask for peace, Lord, just to come into people's lives in the midst of all that's going on in the economy, O God. Father, that we can just see you and know that you are still our provider today. Father, I ask for your blessings to be over these people here today, Father, because I know you care for them, because you said that you love us all, even while we was yet sinners. In fact, Father, you said that it's not in our righteousness, Father, that we receive blessings from you, Father, but it's in your righteousness. Because even when we're not doing the things that we know we should be doing, Lord, and I'm guilty, but Father, you still love us. You still bless us. When the law, when the enemy comes in and he uses the law against us, we just need to get back and say, we're saved by grace through faith in what you have done. Our righteousness is in you. Despite what our flesh says, Father, we're looking so forward, Lord, for you to come and remove this flesh so we can receive our new bodies, O God. Father, I love you, Lord, with everything in me. And if there's things that I don't love you with, show me, because I want to love you more. Yes. Father, I love you and thank you for just giving me the opportunity to come and receive from them, Lord, and they receive from me, because we're truly one body. This is one house, your house, that you have put together. Help us, Lord, to run this house right here in Slidell, better. Get us in order and just help us, Father, because we're just mere men. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Love you guys. It wasn't...